Calling all artists. The National Park Service is offering a unique opportunity to inspire creativity. The Artist in Residence program provides artists with opportunities to create works of art in natural and cultural settings. Artists get a chance to participate in park programs while sharing their work with the public. Here with details is Linda Cook. She's superintendent of the Weir Farm National Historic Site in Connecticut. Linda, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
All right. So tell us about this program. How does it work?
So the National Park Service has worked with this program since 1970, and across the country there are approximately 50 parks that have artist-in-residence programs. Artists often from around the world apply to the program. There's a jury process. They're selected, and then they get to spend anywhere from 2 weeks to a month in some of the most beautiful and remote locations in the country.
So tell us how it works where you are.
Weir Farm National Historic Site is in Wilton, Connecticut, and we are the only park in the country dedicated to American painting. So on the site, there is a house and a studio. We advertise, we work with a partner, and we advertise for the program. Artists somewhere, we have two jury selection periods a year. Artists apply every 6 months. We select 12 artists a year. They come. They move in, they create art, and they engage with the public, they engage with park staff, and they also put on shows in the community. But mostly, many of them are there for a retreat. They take time out of their lives and have the opportunity to connect with the location, with art, and with nature, and really create some amazing pieces of artwork.
And so what happens to the art once they create it? Is it on display somewhere in the park or nearby? I mean, Wilton is kind of Land Rover territory. There must be a lot of artist galleries around there.
There are artist galleries. Many artists, though, you know, they have a very fixed period of time. But it depends, you know, exactly where you are in the country. Some artists, they'll display their art they'll take it to local libraries. They'll talk about it. You know, they engage with the public. For example, at Denali up in Alaska, the artist has for a year to complete certain pieces of artwork, and then oftentimes they'll come back and work with the park to contribute their art to exhibitions, to have the park use it for interpretive purposes, to have it on websites. Some parks even work with artists to have a piece donated back to the park. It goes into the park's permanent collection, and it becomes part of the imagery of the park, so that when we talk about these parks, we're not just talking about and using images from the late 1800s. We're using contemporary images, which really, really excite people.
And so at Weir, what have the artists contributed that you think helps you and helps your staff there do your jobs better in conveying what the meaning of this site is to the public?
Sometimes national parks, people have ideas about national parks that they are just one thing. It's a place to hike, it's a place to camp, it's a place to, you know, visit historic homes or buildings. What art does and what art has done for us is, especially at a site dedicated to art, it really helps people become inspired by what they see. It helps them think about nature and their surroundings and even their lives as opportunities to pursue their dreams, to try something new, to see things as different color, to sometimes for children to see images of the park that are silly or different or big or non-representational gives people ideas about how things are connected and also how they can contribute their own ideas to something. It's not just the parks run by the National Park Service. Once you open it up to everybody else's ideas and representations, art becomes a common language.
Do you have a personal favorite of something an artist has created there for you?
Oh, one year there was a woman who came and she decided. At the park, we have about 6 miles of laid stone walls, and she found the walls incredibly beautiful. And she decided to deck them out in jewels. So she covered the walls with jewels and made them glow. That was one. Another was a photographer we recently had who we have been restoring many of the buildings on site. And he came in when the buildings were empty and captured them when there were no furnishings inside, when they were completely empty. And it's just seeing things and putting things on paper that your imagination couldn't dream up. It's just makes things look different and very exciting.
We're speaking with Linda Cook. She's superintendent of the Weir Farm National Historic Site in Wilton, Connecticut. And now I spend a lot of time, just about weekly, at the C&O Canal National Park right outside of Washington. And I frequently see people setting up easels and painting, and usually they're painting what they're looking at. If someone is inspired to take a residence in one of the national parks, can they are they allowed to create something? What if they have a vision of the Serengeti or something and want to paint that while in the park? Is that's okay too?
It's totally okay, but one thing to keep in mind is every park program, so of the 50 artist-in-residence programs across the country, each program is separate. It's a very decentralized process. So the program at Weir Farm is very different, potentially, from the program at C&O Canal or Grand Canyon, Rocky Mountain, at St. Gaudens, where the famous sculptor Augustus St. Gaudens. For example, St. Gaudens, they do just representational sculpture like Augustus St. Gaudens did. At Weir Farm, artists are free to use any medium to represent the park or paint anything they want. But for example, at Rocky Mountain, the park there is very interested in having pieces that are inspired by the park or more linked to the park.
And what happens after these artists leave the parks? Do you continue the relationship at all with them, or do they just sort of go out into the, you know, hinterlands and do their own thing?
Well, artists are like all people. Some really seek to be engaged with the park, and others are, you know, more reclusive. But I would say, as a general rule, most artists stay in contact with parks. We in turn rely on them for many things. Many come back and volunteer. They go out and do public programming for us. They'll do outreach. Many sit on juries. So, for example, up at Denali, artist Kessler Woodward, he now runs much of the jury program for the park. We really get into some really long-term relationships with these artists. They become constituents. For example, at Weir Farm, we maintain an archive of every single artist we've worked with. And it's an incredibly fruitful relationship. They also go on to other residencies. So just like a dance card, if you've been a resident at Weir Farm, you may then go to a residency at C&O Canal or the Everglades, Manzanar. You can become addicted to these programs.
Yeah, it sounds like a great life for them. In the years that you've been doing this, have you noticed trends in the terms, in the artists that are applying and then actually getting these residencies? I mean, where are they in their careers, and what media have become popular?
So most of the artists are just as you say. You know, they're in their mid-career. They're professional artists. Some programs do work with emerging artists, so they save a slot for an emerging artist. But they are people that typically are very adventuresome and have the means to take a month off or 2 weeks off to go somewhere and do a residency. But the media is really sky's the limit. Quilters, potters, videographers, glassblowers, installation artists, cartoonists, illustrators, fabric artists, writers, poets, the dancers. It's not just painters and people who sketch or photographers. Arts are as creative as the imagination, will let us go.
And just a detail question in terms of photography, are there still photographers that use the wet processes as opposed to the digital ones?
I'm sure there are, but in what you have to keep in mind is a park may not have the capacity to support a particular media that an artist wants to work in. So, for example, you know, I wouldn't have a, you know, a lab or a place.
A dark room.
A dark room. That's the word. I haven't used that word in a long time. Thank you. We don't have a dark room. Just like if you're a printmaker, we don't have presses and other things. So we have to have relationships and partnerships with other entities around us that the artist could go and use. Just like most parks don't maintain kilns. It's just, You can do so much on site, and then there are things that they just can't do. But with so many parks that have internet connection, more and more artists can do a lot of things that before they weren't able to accomplish, you know, in the park.
Sounds very cool. Linda Cook is the superintendent of Weir Farm National Historic Site. Linda, thanks for joining us.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you, Tom and Emily.